If you start hearing a thumping noise, it's just my leg. Don't pay any attention to it. I have always been a very nervous man when standing before people. When my pastor first asked me if I would lead the singing, I asked him, I said, are you crazy? I can't stand before people. That was 15 years ago. And I'm thankful that the Lord has given me a few words to say to some folks, especially to come down here and meet my brothers and sisters in Christ. Kathy and I have traveled around the world a few times and all over the states. And one of the most favorite things we enjoy about our traveling is going to another church and meeting our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so our next vacation, of course, was let's go to Australia. We know there's a man there who preaches the truth. There's got to be some people who want to hear it as well. So I'm thankful, so thankful and so blessed to be here this morning. Our hosts have been beyond wonderful, just beyond wonderful. And we want to thank you so much for what you've done for us while we've been here. I'd like to ask you to turn in your Bibles, if you would. Our text will be from Hebrews chapter 3, if you want to turn there and mark that, and then turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. Before the Lord called me, I was raised in a religion, the religion of Baptists. I don't know what kind they were. There's a lot of different kinds of Baptists. But I know this. It didn't matter to me as I grew up. It didn't matter until the Lord made it matter around the age of 40. There was a group of folks that I knew in those days that we called the holier than thou. You may recognize that phrase. You may know some yourself as well. They were the ones who would show up on Sunday dressed very nice, and you'd never hear them cuss. You'd never hear them say a strong word about somebody else. They were always there. They were the type of people that would say, I used to be this. I'm not anymore. I turned myself over to the Lord. Or they would say things like, I'm not a sinner like I was. And really all they're saying when they say that is, I'm not a sinner like you. We call them the holier than thou. Kathy and I were, actually I was speaking with our dear brother Kevin Thacker. Some of you may know him down in San Diego. And he mentioned a man who was coming from Australia to preach. I had never heard that there was even one that we knew of down there. I knew Don had gone down a couple of times. He'd come down here, but I didn't know who he was. And Kathy and I jumped in the car and drove 10 hours to San Diego to come hear this man. And how blessed we were to hear a man preach Christ and him crucified. It never gets old to a sinner. It never gets old to one who has always got this sin in our flesh. As we walk through this valley of the shadow of death, it never gets old to hear about the one who completely and fully saves his people. I've been listening to it for 24 years now. My pastor preached it for 40 years, the same message every Sunday. It never gets old. I heard about this house of sinners down in Australia. Sinners who'd spent their days walking through the valley of the shadow of death as I do. Sinners who had been given great comfort in their plague of sin. Great sinners who needed a great Savior. They needed a sovereign Savior. What that means is a Savior who is not making it possible for someone to be saved, but a Savior who did save his people. Not a Savior who's waiting for you to do something, but who has done it for you, who has provided all that you need, a sovereign Savior. Let me read some scriptures for you, if you would. In Isaiah 45, verses 5 through 6, we read these words, I am the Lord. That's the Lord we're talking about. Almighty, all-powerful, creator of everything that is. I am the Lord and there is none else, he says. No God, there is no God beside me. He says, I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Does that sound like a Savior you might need? Here's another verse in John chapter 1, verse 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made, and in him was life. And the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. As sinners, we're just like that blind man. When the Lord comes to us and gives us eyes and ears to hear his truths, we look back and we say, you're right. Darkness hid the face of the Lord from me all those years. And it wasn't until he healed my blindness that I could see the truth of who he was. Listen to Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. For by him were all things created. Interesting how the Lord had worked that out for you to read your verse. You didn't know what I was going to read. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. This is the sovereign God we're talking about here. When I first heard about a God who works everything out according to his counsel, I don't know about you folks, but that just blew me away. I had not heard about a God like that before. I was like, really? One of the reasons I quit going to church as quickly as I could get out from underneath my parents was because there was a God who didn't deserve to be called God. Yet here for the first time under a gospel preacher, I heard about the one who truly is God. Creator of everything. He's in charge of all things, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, whether they be the man who sits in the White House, whether they be the prime minister of this wonderful country that we've been visiting. He's the God of thrones. He's the God of dominions or principalities. You know what a principality is, don't you? When the apple falls from the tree, we call it the principle of Newton's principle, gravity. That's principalities. Everything you think that is natural, everything is of our God, is ruled by our Lord, God Almighty. This people that I heard about, they were seeking a sovereign Savior. All powers, everything was created by him. And then it says in the last of that verse, it was created for him. We were created for him. Exodus 22:7. And it shall come to pass when he crieth unto me that I will fear. Oh, wait a minute. I missed one there. Yep, I did. They were looking for one that was gracious and merciful. They were seeking a God who would be gracious to them and merciful. In Exodus 22:7, we read this, and it shall come to pass when he crieth unto me that I will hear, for I am gracious. This is that one that we just spoke of and saw how he is sovereign over all things. In Numbers 6:22 through 27, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. In Psalms 86:15 through 16, we read these, but thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion. Oh, how we need a God who is full of compassion, graceful, gracious in all ways, merciful, merciful to those who he loves. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering. Does that not sound wonderful to one who spends the rest of his week or her week walking through this valley of the shadow of death? Merciful, long-suffering, plenteous in mercy and truth. Oh, turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant and save the son of thine handmaid. This people that I had heard about, this people, this group of sinners, they were looking to be, they had a great comforter, one that was a loving Savior, one that cares for and provides all that is needed in this redeeming this people to God the Father. We read in Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. It'll never stop. Folks, God Almighty gave his son for a people. A people, not the whole world, a people. Do you grasp the grace of God in making you one of those people? Do we grasp the grace of God in making this one who is a sinner holy in his son, the Lord Jesus? Oh, what grace of God in loving his people. Over in Ephesians chapter 2, therefore in loving kindness have I drawn thee, he says. And over in Ephesians chapter 2, I was speaking with Owen and I asked him, I said, Owen, what's your favorite scripture? You've obviously been reading scriptures for quite some time. What's your favorite scripture? He said, Ephesians chapter 8 and 9, chapter 2, 8 and 9. I want to look at that with you if you're there in the book of Ephesians. Look with me if you would, beginning at verse 4. But God, we'll come back to verse 3 in just a moment, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. He has loved his people from before the world began. That's what we read a moment ago. He's loved his people with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, he says, have I drawn thee. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins. Now stop there for a moment, because I want to go back to that last part of verse 3. Look where it says there, by nature, and we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. This is a bona fide sinner's way of looking at life. I'm a sinner just like everybody else. Just because I show up on Sunday doesn't make me holy. Just because I give to the church doesn't make me holy. Just because I give to the poor doesn't make me holy. Paul clearly states that even the good that he does is tainted with the sin of the flesh. Who's gonna save me from this body of death? Oh, how thankful I am that there is a Savior. This is that Savior that we have heard is preached to you every time you gather. Why? Because that's what we need, isn't it? When you go through this world, you go to your job, whatever it is, if you're retired, you go out in the golf course or whatever. Do you not struggle with the sin that's in your flesh? I tell you this morning, folks, if you don't struggle as a sinner in the flesh, you need to get on your knees and cry out for God to make you the sinner that you are. Natural men don't see the depth of our sin. Yet you and I, if we've been called of God, do, don't we? Why do we gather as often as we do and preach the one message of Christ? Because that's the message that a sinner needs to hear. This is the message that brothers and sisters come from, even in rescue. People come to three hours to hear the message. Ours aren't quite that far. Some of ours come about 2 hours, hour and a half or so on. But still, the message is the same. The reason is the same. We need a Savior. We walk through this world wondering, Lord, how can a person that you say is holy think such thoughts? How can I let that anger build up in my heart if I'm a saved person? And then we realize through God's word, through the preaching of his word, that that's what we are. Sinners saved by grace. From our scripture reading that Angus read for us there, Luke chapter 8, we read these words, "My mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it." Look over at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed." We believed. Throw over to 1 John chapter 5 if you would. 1 John chapter 5. What is it that we hear? We hear the gospel. We hear the good news that God has provided himself a sacrifice for his people. We hear that what we do in the flesh is not worthy of God to even be considered for salvation, to even be thought of for that matter. But there is one who has satisfied God's justice completely for us. What is the justice of God? It's death. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. There must be bloodshed. Over in John, 1 John chapter 5, we read in verse 1, "Whosoever believeth." My question to you is this: what is it we hear? What is it we hear when the Lord Jesus says, "My brethren, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the word"? Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. That's what we hear. We hear about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who was crucified. Going on in verse 1, "And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him." I'm thankful that I'm here in Australia. It's just a beautiful country. But it doesn't beat this. That beautiful coastline you have over there, that's nothing compared to meeting you folks. I feel like I've known you. Why? Because you worship the same God I do. You walk through this world the same way I do, putting down the best you can this flesh as best we can, but knowing that we have an advocate in heaven who says, "I've paid that sin in full. The cost of that sin was death, and our Savior died for us." That's the good news. That's the gospel. But this verse 2, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." Now, I want to stop there. Are they easy? If I ask for a show of hands, I'll bet every one of them would say no. No. But they're not grievous. Every command our God has made has been fulfilled by our substitute. There's no righteousness in this one who stands before you, but in the soul, in the spirit, it's as holy as God himself because of what his son has done. We'll see that in a moment in our text. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth Jesus is the Son of God? This is my family. This is my brethren. I remember when I went to see Don Fortner's church for the first time. Don used to come to Rescue twice every year, and he was our key speaker for every conference. And Kathy and I, we got to go to Danville, Kentucky, one of these times to go up there and meet the folks, because we keep hearing about you. Last year when Angus was in Tennessee with me in Kingsport, all I heard about was the wonderful brothers and sisters in Christ right here in Australia. So we go to Danville, and it was just like I had known everybody there. First thing was I get this elderly gentleman stop me at the gate. Hey, are you here for the conference? Yes, I am. Come on this way, follow me, and I'll show you where everything's at. We get off the plane, and I see two smiling faces, just beaming. Here we are. Come on. We'll show you all the ways around Australia. And they have. What lovely folks. You folks have just given us your hearts. This is my family. This is my brethren. You know what fellowship means? Fellers on the same ship. Some of you shaking your head, yep, I knew that. We're all on the same ship. We have one thing in common, and that is there's a Savior who has put all of our sin away. Not just part, but every bit of it. Fellows of the same ship, fellows of the gospel, people of like spirit, the Spirit of God. Now turn, if you would, to that chapter there of Hebrews chapter 3. And I won't be much longer. I want to look at one verse. I'm going to read several. And for the sake of time, if you'd like me to give you a list of them afterwards, I'll be happy to. But just take your Bibles, put them on your laps there, and concentrate on the message. In Hebrews chapter 3, we read in verse 1, wherefore, holy brethren, brothers of one mind, brethren who have no righteousness but the righteousness of Christ, brothers whose only claim to holiness is the holiness of our substitute, Christ Jesus the Lord. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he, God the Father, hath made him, God the Son, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Brother Frank Tate put an article, I believe it was in last week's bulletin. If you haven't read that, I highly, highly recommend it. Brother Frank Tate, just a good explanation. Actually, it's not an explanation at all. It's actually a statement that says, it's a statement that you can't explain. Quit trying to. Just believe it. God the Father made God the Son sin, period, that we would be made the righteousness of God in him. Ephesians 4, verses 5 through 6, there is one Lord. This is you and I. Brethren, holy brethren, there's one Lord, there's one faith, there's one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. There can't be another. There's only one. There's only one true God. There's a whole bunch of false ones, isn't there? A whole bunch of gods people who think they're gods. Every time we think that we can do something above God's will, we're actually thinking that we're gods ourselves. We're thinking more of ourselves than we should. Everything we do should be Lord willing. Lord willing. Romans 15, 5 through 6. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may be with one mind and one mouth. Glorify God. That's what we're doing right now. Getting together and glorifying our Savior. Raising Him up above everything else, just like the brazen serpent. I shared this with Angus the other day. If you take a round ball like the earth and you fill it completely with water, cover it so there's nothing above the water, and then you put an ark on that water, what's the highest thing? The ark. The picture of Christ, our Savior. Everything that was needed for those eight folks in the ark, God provided for Himself. One mind, one mouth, glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are of one mind, of whom has cleansed us from sin, Christ Jesus the Lord. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. In Hebrews 10, 14, for by one offering is all it took from the one who is perfect and righteous in every way. By one offering, He hath what? Perfected. 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 Not in anything you've done, but by that one offering that He hath done, you are perfected. I tell those that I get the opportunity to speak to, quit looking in the mirror. Quit looking in the mirror for your righteousness that's not there. Look to Christ. That's the only righteousness there is. Look to Christ. He purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of God. For by one offering He had perfected forever them that are sanctified. We are of one mind in our calling. It says next in our text there, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. We know that if Christ had not sought after us, we would have continued on that path to destruction that we were on. I mentioned it a moment ago. We're just like that blind man. I don't know all there is to know about this Lord Jesus, but I do know this. Once I was blind, and as a child of God, you know it as well. You look back and you say, I know I was blind. When I was 40 years old, I knew I was blind, running around in the world, thinking about John Reeves, exercising the religion of John Reeves. And then the Lord woke me up, gave me sight. And if you're a child of God, He's done the same to you. You know the sin that's in you. You know the sin that was in you then. You know the sin that's in you now. We know that we are partakers of the heavenly calling. We are one mind in our calling. We know that if Christ had not sought after us, we would have continued on that path to destruction. It says in 2 Timothy verse 1, or chapter 1, verse 7 through 9. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the affliction of the gospel, according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose of grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Brethren, consider, it says next, back in our text again, after we see that we're partakers of a heavenly calling, it says consider. That means to ponder. That's what we do when we come together to worship our Lord. We ponder him as our substitute. We ponder him as the sovereign God of all things. We ponder him as our greatest love of this world. I dearly love this lady who sits before me and travels with me side by side. I dearly love her, but my Lord is the one who is precious to my soul. Precious. I never understood that when I first heard Don say that. How could he look at that beautiful blonde woman sitting over there and tell her to her face, you're second. You're second. Because Kathy can't save me. Kathy can't lay down her life and then make intercession for me as my high priest. We see that next. Consider the apostle. The apostle is the messenger with power. Those men who were the apostles of God were sent out with power to prove who they were speaking of. And we'll see that in the next message, an example of that. But they were just men. The apostle. Do you see that? The one apostle. The high priest. Consider this one who death could not hold and is now sitting at the right hand of the Father on high. Consider him, if you would, the one of our profession, the one of our witnessing, the one of our declarations, our faith. Owen told me yesterday, he said, or it was actually the day before, the first time I met him. He said, I just can't witness the way I used to. I can't remember the words. I assured Owen this. The way he lives. Now, don't take that the wrong way. And he didn't. I'm not talking about your actions in helping others. I'm talking about you believing God. The way he lives, believing God, is the best witness you can have. Trying to pretend to have some kind of righteousness of your own, all that does is make you a holier than thou. My kids, neither one of them have any desire for the Lord. They're all grown in their 40s. They know where my faith is. They also know their dad's still a sinner. Our profession is the one that we believe. Our witnessing is the one that we believe. I believe God. He says he has loved the people, and that those people, all of them, all that the Father giveth me, shall come to me. I believe. This is the profession of everyone for whom he died. We are of one mind. We are holy brethren in Christ Jesus, the Lord. Amen.